Hi, I'm Vicky Ann, Director and Founder of Creative Recruiters. Welcome to the Creative Studio Insider Podcast. My special guest this week is Emily Ralphs. Emily is the Global Creative Services Manager at Movember. Emily, you've had a mix of ad agency and in-house experience, which is really interesting. So I'm thrilled that you could join me today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, VA, for having me. It's lovely to receive your email requested to be part of this series.
Thanks. And how have you fared this year in lockdown?
I've actually personally found it, a little bit daunting to start off with. I think like most of us, most people, job security and all the different things that came with this year, posed a bit of a cloud at some points. But I think personally I've come out the other side in a really good place, and I've certainly watched my team flourish and probably create some of their best work. So it's an interesting time, and I think it's just helped us play on our strengths and just get through. So yeah, it's been okay. I'm definitely looking forward to Christmas though.
Yeah, I think it's funny how, you know, everyone is really exhausted, aren't they? Even though they've been working from home, but just that added level of change has probably drained a lot of people. Yeah,
I think so. I think for creatives especially, when you're when creatives are made up of a traditional team, or they're, you know, a team is cast to address a brief, when everyone's doing it in isolation, it's new, there's different vibe. You can't obviously set up a war room. It's got to be done in a different way when you're concepting, all those sorts of things. But I think it can only make you grow, and I've certainly seen the results of it. So I'm certainly really proud of my team and a lot of my friends in the industry as well, just pushing through and coming up and with great ideas and visiting ideas that they had potentially, you know, had shelved for quite a while and seeing that grow. So it's a really, you know, it can be a really positive year as well.
Yeah.
It has been a positive year.
I think so too. And as I said, you've had a really, really interesting career. Tell me about how did you get into the creative industry, and what has your career journey been that led to your current role with Movember?
It's a long one. I'll try not to waffle. I guess growing up, my mother's an artist, and I was always in studios, spending time with different artists that she shared studio spaces with, always spending time being, you know, off at the National Gallery and different galleries in Fitzroy. So I was always had that kind of cultural exposure. And then later on in my schooling and early kind of university years, I saw myself as an artist as well, but soon realised that I was a fine artist and not a commercial artist, but still wanted to be very much part of the process. And I think I've always been passionate about supporting creatives and bringing out the best in them. And I guess I've never stopped. So that's the fundamental side of it. I probably cut my teeth running a studio in London called Taylor James, which is a photographic retouch house, which at the time was a bit of a startup. They'd just gone through their first growth stage. So there was heaps of opportunity in there for me to jump in and set up process and all the things I love to do, and look for opportunities to grow and support the business, particularly as they were branching into the global space. So we were looking after jobs, or large campaigns, I should say, for the UK and the US and across Europe. So yeah, just really interesting work. And that just was something that I just loved, and I still do.
And what was your career path? Where, you know, from there, where did you go? What did you do?
I ended up working, I had sort of handed in my time in London, obviously the weather and those sorts of things. I came back and ended up working in publishing, and then ended up in agency land. I also had...
As agencies?
Yeah, working in ad agencies. So across all sorts of different sectors, so FMCG, car clients, makeup brands. But I think what I always loved within my agency sort of experience was the the not-for-profit work and the work that had a bit of a social conscience, which was often work that was proactive work that, that teams would work on in the background when they had a bit of time or they wanted to get together on weekends. Mm. And for me, that just felt like it was ticking a bit of a social conscience that I've always had. Mm. So when Movember came along, I applied for it, but I was tired and I thought this is a great role, but I really need to get to the finish line of Christmas and I'll just give it a go. So I went in and had an interview and they called me that afternoon and said, we'd love you to start next week. So that was that. Jumped in the deep end. It was the middle of campaign and haven't looked back.
And so tell us about Movember as an organization, you know, from the from an insider's point of view and your role as creative services manager.
So Movember is a men's health charity, which was founded in 2003. We're located, it's a, obviously a global organisation, it's huge. A lot of people think it's just based in Melbourne, but it's massive now. We have got main offices in the big four, so in Australia, Canada, the UK and the US, including Northern America. We've got an office in Canada. And then we've got a couple of smaller offices in New Zealand and Singapore and also in Europe. And I guess Melbourne is known as the HQ, and we're located in the Polacco building on Richmond Hill on the top floor there. So the view is just stunning. Amazing. It's great. And I think there's about 140 people there, possibly more. So it's quite a big office, and it's definitely the hub of what goes on for Movember. And I guess all the creative that's done globally comes through my department, and so I oversee that. So there's a lot of Zoom calls at all hours for me, but I've certainly grown to build some great relationships with our marketing teams in all the different countries and fundraising teams and the content teams especially. So each market has their own content team, and they're a bit of a lifeblood. So it's a happy little family, but we're a little bit disjointed at the moment.
And when you say the creative comes through you, is your team producing the creative for global and then they go and localize it, or is it coming from other studios?
No, it definitely comes through. It's normally centralized through one stakeholder so that we don't get hit with a tsunami. I think historically there's a learning there. So rather than be sort of swamped with, several of the same brief, it's sort of a smarter way to work, and particularly with a return of investment as well. So often there'll be one stakeholder in one area and or one country, and they'll manage a job. So if we're doing if we're addressing a global brief like World Suicide Prevention Day or Testicular Cancer Awareness Month or something like that, there'll be one stakeholder who'll manage that process and then share the work back with the other stakeholders. And then there might be, once the core brief is signed off, there might be some slight variations in each market. So there might be some additional requests that might come in on a different job ticket. So they may need to be more localized with the photography that we're using so that we're, making sure that different ethnicities are correct, but then also seasons. So you obviously don't want snow in January in an Australian campaign. So we've certainly learnt the hard way in some respects there, but it's definitely an absolute priority, particularly in Northern America as well at the moment.
So Movember just isn't about the November moustache campaign then?
No, it's not. It was. And we've got the most fantastic founder, Travis. He's also my creative director and I work really closely with him. And I'm sure that people will have seen his podcast recently on LinkedIn, and he's often, out and about during campaign. It's obviously taken a different sort of turn this year, but that was initially the concept, but that's since grown to Move, Grow, and sorry, there's Move, Grow, Host, and Mow Your Own Way. So yes, you can follow any number of ways to raise money, and it's certainly a really creative space for people.
Oh, it's just fabulous. And so what is the makeup of your team? What does it look like? What type of job titles sit within your in-house studio?
So we're fairly lean. We have our creative director, Trav, and he's obviously been around since 2003 from November's inception. And then underneath him is a senior team. So I've got a senior designer and a senior writer, and they're both very strong in art direction as well. So often pitching, you could say, and responding to briefs with several territories, and really, really strong in creating compelling campaigns and ideas internally. And then I've also got a front-end developer. So he handles all that sort of front-of-house work. And then we kind of cross into different collaborations. So often my team will partner with the UX and UI guys. Yeah. We work really closely with the content teams, and that's an ongoing workload. Mm-hmm. We are always writing scripts and that sort of thing. So yeah, I tend to cast my jobs based on the best outcome rather than looking at casting in a traditional sense. I think those days are long and gone. I think we need to look at how we create the best possible work.
Absolutely. And earlier you mentioned the stakeholders that you have across the different countries. Who are your stakeholders then? And perhaps what are their conflicting priorities that you, at the head of that in internal design studio, need to manage?
I tend to protect my team from any kind of differences. I like to be that person that can manage those stakeholders. I've spent a lot of time building those relationships and building trust and having some pretty honest conversations around, you know, deadlines, and sometimes some fat would put into deadlines and those sorts of things that you can understand are part of the game. I get it. But my key stakeholders are definitely marketing and fundraising, and very much the programmatic teams. So being a global role, I'm constantly on work in progress calls to during normal business hours and also outside of business hours, and sitting in the back row on different work in progress meetings for different projects, particularly larger projects, just to get a keen idea of pipeline and how that's potentially going to affect my team and budgets if I need to look into bringing in some freelancers or specialist creatives. It just kind of depends. It's definitely a balancing act, and you're definitely spinning plates all the time, but I wouldn't have it any other way. And I think what's really special is that we're all trying to get to the same outcome, and that's, to save lives. So I think if you've got that same objective, you are Team Movember, which is a really strong value of ours, and it always works. So some of my favourite conversations are at 6 a.m.
Really?
We have so much fun on our teams. You know, it's 6 a.m. and you're chatting to your marketing manager in the UK, and, you know, he's been up late at night, and the US are fantastic. The guys in New York are brilliant. I wouldn't have it any other way. I'd love to grab them for a Christmas lunch, but one day.
maybe next year. And so yeah. what sort of campaigns or collateral are you producing on a daily basis?
That's a very good question. I was thinking about that before, VA, and that's a long list. We create guides, infographic work for our biomed area. They're obviously very strong in that space and need a lot of support there. Yeah. We're currently creating a library of icons for them to use that are a little bit more fun than you might go and find in a library. So there's an opportunity to be creative in a space you may not necessarily think is that creative, because it's quite scientific. Yeah. Lots of internal comms, social ads, Instagram carousels, animated work, website landing pages, and then the larger pieces of work, which is really interesting, is the work that we're doing at the moment, which is creating sub-brands for the programmatic area. So they fall out of the master brand of Movember. So there's brand guidelines and toolkits and all that sort of work that flows from there. So The programmatic area is funded, we fund about 1,250 different programs for Movember. So it's just this endless possibility of opportunity for us. So yeah.
Did you understand that going in, just how big a role this was, that the organization is as big as what it is?
I didn't, to be fair, but I also have been very keen on redirecting a lot of work back in-house, because the volume of work was so high. It was really important to me that we try and streamline that to come back through in-house, because there was often work going out of house just due to time and capacity and that sort of thing. So my objective for the last 12 months has been to bring majority of the work back in-house, so that we can keep things on brand, look for opportunities, and just create a better return on investment, because I think it's good to have those conversations and create, you know, respond to one brief rather than five briefs that are similar. So reining it in and streamlining it has been really successful this year. And like I said, we've produced our best work. So it's really exciting.
It really is. And so what is it like? I was going to ask you about what the lead up to Movember is like, but you know, that's one campaign. There's all these other ones, but what is the lead up like for the studio during those times?
I think it's busy. I think this year has just shown what we can do with all this uncertainty. And I think for us, we had all these moving parts. So we not only were creating universal collateral or universal work for each market to use, we then had to go into a situation that would normally just be one size fits all. And we had to then go into all the different pieces of work and change the language, because we didn't know what was going to hit once Movember started. Mm. And we didn't know what the different restrictions would be like on all the different products that we offer. So, you know, if you wanted to mow your own way, that's great, but you might not necessarily be allowed outside to do that. You know, let's look at creative ways that you can raise money. You know, you might not be able to go and run that 60K that you did last year. So can you do it on your treadmill, on your balcony? You know, all those sorts of things, just really changing up the landscape. So we had to be fluid in that space. So it was really challenging. But I think also something that was really important to us was to make sure that we were recognising that this has been difficult, not just because of COVID, but because of the Black Lives Matter movement and bushfires and other things that were going on globally. So we need to be really sensitive across the board, because it affects people in different ways. So it was a moving feast, but a challenge well accepted.
It sounds like you've done an exceptional job, Emily. What, you know, for you, you've worked in ad agency, and now you've worked in-house. What are the distinct differences that you see in the role of a studio manager, you know, versus the creative services manager role?
Well, I guess fundamentally ad agencies want to win awards and we want to save lives. So it's very different. I think it's a really tricky question to answer, because agencies can be so different. I think it really just depends on your environment.
But the fundamental role itself, is it different? You know, if you're operating that studio, you've still got all the briefs coming in, et cetera, et cetera. You've still got the people management. But I'm curious about the differences.
I think in-house you're always looking for opportunities to educate. And I think in ad agencies, people generally understand what each role is and what it means. Whereas at Movember, I'm working often with specialists in certain areas of mental health and all those sorts of things. And they've never had to engage a creative before. And they're just appreciative with anything that you put on that, you know, offer to them. So it's trying to always create an awareness and an education. And then I think also it's really important as a leader in the creative space to reach into the insights for how successful your work's been and not successful sometimes, yeah, and really share that with your team so you can improve or not you know, or continue doing the great work that you're doing. So to have access to those sorts of aspects is really, really helpful. And I've never really needed to do that in advertising. I guess I've always felt like it's a little bit of a shorter process. Mm. The projects are smaller, whereas this is this ongoing machine that's just growing and innovating, and everyone's got the same end goal. Whereas advertising, I guess, is a little bit more broken down depending on the client.
Yeah. You've also had a background in production. What are the distinct differences that you see between the role of the creative services manager and the role of the production manager, and how do they work together in an in-house environment?
I think creative service management is a lot to do with managing people and bringing out the best in them, and it's more than just project-based. So for me, production is, there's some fundamental understandings in production that you need to know as a creative services manager. So, you know, putting together budgets, having a pretty clear idea of how long it's going to take to do certain parts of the creative process or overall campaign and the people involved and all those sorts of things. But it feels like it's more project-based. Whereas creative services for me is managing teams and, you know, where are these people going to be in 12 months' time? How are they going to work with newcomers? Are they hungry? If they're not hungry anymore, why not? What do they need to grow? And that there's a real nurturing side of creative services, which is something I'm passionate about. And so I feel like it's a little bit more, there's a bit of longevity in that, and it's investing.
Yeah. When you've moved, you know, from agency to client side, I'm curious about whether when you first go into a studio, whether there's a common problem that you always see, and if so, what is it and what's the solution?
Common problem. I think probably time. I think time's our biggest challenge. I think if we've got time, we can unpack things, or we can plan projects, and we can really put that experience into play. And I think often everyone's, you know, flying by the seat of their pants, and I think it's not always the best way to operate, and it's certainly not sustainable. So I think if we can just slow down a bit, and, you know, something that I think is incredibly important, and that is to always ask why, because I think it's almost your responsibility to ask that and be brave enough to ask why and really unpack what you're doing and see if there's a more effective way to operate. So,
Yeah. And is there a particular favorite tool or piece of software that you're using today that solves that time problem?
I think it's a bit of, look, I do. I think for me personally, it's good to have great software. We use Asana at Movember, and we just couldn't live without it. It connects us globally. It gives us visibility on pipeline and all the things that make your life an absolute dream. You can run reports from it. You can track hours. You can, you know, it's great. It's a sort of like a one-stop shop. I still think you need that interaction and that constant education, the constant connection, constant, you know, sharing references and how you think something might work or hasn't worked previously. I don't think you could ever take away the human element at all.
Yeah, no, I agree, absolutely. What's the one bit of advice you were given early on in your career that still really resonates with you today?
I think definitely asking why. I think it's so important to, and I think it's your obligation as a person in a creative space to ask why if you don't know, and to really get that depth of understanding for whatever reason it is. But I think ultimately you want to produce the best possible outcome. So I think that's the only way. And I think always have a mentor. Don't rely on the people around you at work to supply you with everything you need and fulfill where you're going. I think it's almost unhealthy to do that. I think you need to have different people around who have a great energy. They don't necessarily need to be more experienced, but I think if you're surrounded by people who aren't learning and have sort of feel like they've reached the top of what they're doing and they don't need to grow anymore, then you probably should mix it up a bit, because it's so important to have that lifeblood and to tap into that and to showcase it. I think knowledge sharing is so important. We have a creative catch up once a month where we bring in someone externally to come in we plan to this year, who comes in and just speaks to us, you know, about interesting things that are happening out in the world and different ways to look at the creative process. And I think you need that to as your lifeblood.
You do, absolutely. Emily, I could sit here and chat with you for hours. It's been an absolute joy. You're at the top of your game and you have such a strong reputation. I'm really thrilled that you've joined us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a bit nerve-wracking, the old Zoom, but it's been an absolute pleasure and I'd love to come back again.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I'll certainly hold you to that. You have a great day. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.